What great joy, brothers and sisters! We feel happy, joyful, motivated, and completely inspired. And we have plenty of reasons for this motivation. Our sister, Maria Luisa, is our motivation in times of joy and times of uncertainty. For how many was our sister, Maria Luisa, a source of motivation during the pandemic? She always accompanied us in every home, in every country. There she was with her smile. There she was with her heart. There she was with her willingness. Many miracles and great blessings were lived. Sister, thank you for your love and mercy, for being with us. You are a great pillar in the church. I could go on speaking about our sister, Maria Luisa. You all know this. And we say to the Lord, glory to you, Lord, for allowing us to have her here and to see her with our own eyes. All that is left for me to do is give a warm welcome to our beloved brother, Carlos Alberto Baena Lopez, the worldwide head pastor of the church, who came with our sister Raquel Hernandez. Sister, a warm welcome to you as well. Our sister Andrea, our beloved brother as well. To all of you, a huge hug. Brother Carlos Alberto, thank you very much.
Glory to God. Come on, you bless and praise the Lord. Blessed is our Lord, whom we love so much. I am very excited to be able to spend this time with you today. And you may take your seats for a second, please. I'm very excited to see the way the church here in Mexico has grown, and especially the profound love you have for God, to see the fruit of our sister Melissa's work. Her work has not been in vain, but God's support has been with her the whole time through. Glory to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is great what we are living today. After the pandemic, it is the first Bible study that our sister Melissa holds in another country where she calls all the churches. This is today, in this moment. Glory to the name of the Lord. Let us dedicate to our God this wonderful Bible study, that it is a gift from heaven. God gives the people of Mexico and the whole church of the Lord worldwide. Let us rise, brothers and sisters, and pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this moment that is so beautiful, Lord, to have this Bible study, oh God. After the pandemic, the first one in which, Lord, we will enjoy your blessings, the teachings of our sister Maria Luisa, which will be spiritual fire for our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so dearly. Thank you, Lord, for giving us victory, for protecting us, and for making your church to become stronger each day. If evil in the world abounds, good overabounds, glory to God. If evil and sin, which the devil tries to extend, then good and God's mercy will be multiplied. The power of the Most High and His heavenly fire, hallelujah. Lord, welcome our songs, embrace our praise, and receive the willingness of our heart, for we have come here to give you our hearts, everyone here. We are all telling you, Lord, that we give you our hearts completely, Lord. Complete devotion to you, glory to God. And receive it, Lord. And if it is so, may the fire descend from heaven and fill us with the fullness of the power from on high and the purifying fire of our souls. And may our Lord make us anew in this race toward eternal life. Hallelujah. May it be so. Glory to God. Who among you says, glory to God? Who among you says, I love the Lord? Who among you says, praises to the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Blessed is your name. Brothers and sisters, let us be glad. You may be seated. And let us sing two hymns that talk about that fire, the spiritual fire, and we're going to ask the Lord to be present first so that he purifies us, and second so that he endues us with his power. Glory to the Lord. Let us sing hymn number 2, All-Time Power. As you might remember, what the Bible states, that on the day of Pentecost, at the upper room, fire fell down, and it was divided tongue as of fire. Glory to the Lord. Very well. Number 2. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We always say, thank you, Lord. We always say, glory to God. Praises to the Lord. There was a brother to whom God gave an experience a few days ago. He had a dream with his uncle who had skin cancer. And in the dream, he saw himself laying hands of his uncle and fire coming from his hands. And his uncle asked him to pray for him. And he went and prayed, laid hands. And a few days later, his uncle says, I'm completely healed. But what's beautiful is that his uncle told him, nephew, do you know what caught my eye attention? When you laid your hands on me, I felt fire that was coming throughout my body. And so that's it. The dream and the reality. Glory to God. This is why we're going to sing chorus 115, Fire from Heaven. Brothers And sisters, let us ask fire from heaven. Who among you says amen? Who among you will sing this chorus wholeheartedly, asking the Lord for this blessing? Glory to God. 115. A big round of applause for the Lord. And a few days ago, a sister of the church told me, "Brother, I had a dream today wherein I saw our sister Maria Luisa. Behind our sister, there was a pillar of fire that was huge." And a few days ago, I was reading a passage about John the Baptist that said that he was the burning and shining lamp. Thus is our sister Maria Luisa with us. Let us welcome her with our souls. Glory to the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning, my beloved brothers and sisters. A very warm greeting to all of you. I am very happy to be here with you, my beloved brothers and sisters, and there as well, and around here as well, you all as well. I feel very joyful. I feel proud of all of you. I see God in all of your eyes and all of your faces. I also see the Lord giving you blessings, healing, and working miracles. A greeting to you who are there in the adjacent hall, who were not able to have access to this bigger hall because of the lack of seats. A very warm greeting to all of you as well. I love you with all of my heart. And I give thanks to the Lord. God has upheld us. He is the one who upholds us. You may be seated. He is the one who upholds us. After this pandemic, where many lives were lost, where there were so many disasters during the pandemic, apart from many people dying, people who we knew, and even some who congregated in the church died. Apart from that, there were also many problems, many illnesses, many separations and divorces, many people who committed suicide. So many things happened during the pandemic, but we give thanks to the Lord because He was with us. During the pandemic, He was with us. And I give thanks to God because He placed in my heart, with the help of some brothers, to give the sermon through the internet. And that is why I was there. I was there with you on Sundays. In the beginning, I remember for about a year, I was there Thursdays and Sundays. I was with you aside from the reflections that I would send through the internet, reflections of 10 minutes each. But on Thursdays and Sundays, I delighted myself because I felt you all very close to me. Even though I know that there are people who do not know me, they did not know me from before, and they are new people, surely. But I know that through the internet, they were logged in watching the sermon, and that makes my heart happy. And although we are few in number compared to the millions of people that there are in this country, yet your hearts outweigh the millions of people in this country. Because God is with all of you. Because God is power. Because God is love. God is mercy. And God, with his power, he transmits this to you all as well, so that you also may be mighty. Just as a psalm says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones." And the mighty ones are all of us who know the Lord and that are worshiping the Lord. We are reading the Bible. We are learning doctrine. We are making an effort to believe and to trust in that being that is supernatural, invisible, that we cannot feel with our hands or see with our physical eyes, but we feel him in our heart, in our spirit, in our soul. We feel and we see his miracles, and we see the peace that he gives us, that happiness. And that is enough. That is enough to believe in that God that created the heavens and the earth, that created the universe. In that God that is in spirit and in truth. Therefore, I congratulate you because God has brought you out of ignorance. And now God wants to bless you all and wants to make you new beings, new men and women for his service. God wants to give you the peace and the joy that you were not able to find in your life before. And God also wants to put on you the power from on high, the Holy Spirit and his spiritual gifts. God wants for you to commit yourselves to him, to follow this way. This way is not difficult to follow. This way is very easy with his help. Therefore, triumph and victory are near you all. In the spiritual and material sense, God is with you. God is with us. And today we have gathered today here in this place to worship his name, to honor him, to glorify him with songs and the reading and reflection of the Bible, and also to honor and worship God with the happiness in your heart, with the effort that you have made and the sacrifices that you've made by coming from afar and to not sleep, to travel by road. God is seeing all of this, and he's going to pay you, and he's going to award you with a blessing and a reward. And your trip was not in vain, because you're going to leave filled with God's mercy and power, healing and miracles, with the happiness and the peace. And peace, the peace that God gives, And if there is an unbeliever, they are going to leave a believer. If there is someone who doubts and says, I do not believe, I don't have faith, they are going to leave filled with God, because God is going to touch their hearts, because God is going to give them a little hit here and say, react. I am here so close to you, closer than you think. That is our God. He is this. God is like this. He is power. He is greatness, mercy. That is why we ought to worship that God in spirit and in truth. All we need to do is close our eyes and call upon him, speak to him, pray and ask, and speak to him like a friend, and he is there listening. How easy it is. How easy it is to seek and to call upon God, to follow God's way. He doesn't ask for anything in return. He just asks for our heart. He asks for us to give his heart. That is the only thing he asks for. But our spiritual heart, not the physical one, like in antiquity where they would take people's hearts to give it to idols. No, the Lord says, give me your heart, but your spiritual one. And to tell the Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you. Here I am. Send me. I want to do your will. Let us commit ourselves to the Lord by singing the chorus called With Prayer I Come. Let us sing to the Lord With Prayer I Come, chorus 159, 159. Worship is for the Almighty. You may be seated. We are going to open up our Bibles in Matthew chapter 5, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. The word of the Lord says, the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. It says that he was beginning the preaching of his word, but let us remember that the Lord Jesus Christ began to preach first. He began to teach the law of Moses. Although the law of Moses had been given thousands of years prior, but the people turned away, did not understand the word. They twisted the commandments of the Lord. They turned away from God's path. And when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared there in Jerusalem, he saw that no one was fulfilling the law of Moses. And the plan that the Lord Jesus Christ had was to fulfill the law of Moses, to then annul it, to remove it. He had to fulfill it because God had said that one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And since the Lord saw that no one fulfilled the law, he said, I will fulfill it, then I will annul it. But at the same time, we are going to begin the preaching of the gospel, the good tidings of salvation, or the new method of salvation. The old method of salvation was to fulfill the law of Moses in its entirety. And because no one could, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled it. And then on the cross of Calvary, he annulled that law. It was removed and began the gospel. Gospel means good tidings, good news. It means the age of a different salvation, different from the one that the people of Israel in antiquity had heard of. So the Lord Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5, he is sitting somewhere preaching the law of Moses, and also preaching the gospel, the good tidings. And when he saw the multitude here in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying in verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Pay attention. Poor in spirit, not poor as in your pockets. I don't know if you know what I mean by poor in your pockets, that there is not one penny in your pocket or in your wallet, or I don't know how else you would say it, in your bag, however you want to say it. There's no money. We are poor. We are poor. There is no money. I don't earn enough for my daily living, so I consider myself poor. Well, that is what many people say. They say I'm poor because there's no money. But here the Lord Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. They were those who did not know the true doctrine or the word of God. Those who did not have God in their hearts. They were those poor in spirit, poor in knowledge of God. Poor because they did not have in their being, in their life, and in their heart, they did not have God abiding with them. They were poor because when they prayed, no one was listening to them. God was very far from them because they did not know how to pray, because they did not know the way, they did not know how to act, they did not know how they would be able to have that communication with God, because sin was ruling at that time and everyone was failing or committing sins, going against the law of Moses, and God had turned away from them and had forsaken them. And since they were alone, without God and without hope, that is why the Lord said, they are poor in spirit. They are poor in spirit. Well, they do not have doctrine, but at the same time, since they are poor in spirit because they do not have the knowledge, I am going to preach to them. I'm going to speak to them and teach them, and they are going to believe. They are going to believe because they have been all this time trying to seek God, trying to pray, trying to find the true way, and they have not found it because no one has taught them God's way. Therefore, they are poor in spirit, but since I'm going to speak to them and they will believe, then they will be blessed. Because in their lack of knowledge of the word, the doctrine, or the way that God gives, within them, they will be noble and humble, and they will accept that teaching and they will believe. And God will give them many blessings. That is why the Lord says they are blessed, those poor in spirit. When I speak to them, they will believe and they will be partakers of the kingdom of heaven. Glory be to our God. You consider yourselves that before you were poor in spirit, but now you are rich. Because God has been with you, leading you by the hand. He has been leading you and guiding you. And so it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thanks be to the Lord. Thanks because we consider ourselves among those poor in spirit. We have accepted the word of our Lord. We had accepted this wonderful gospel. We have accepted this way. And in verse 4, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But not mourning for just anything. Blessed are those who mourn not because they were in an accident or they lost a loved one or because they hurt themselves or because they were offended or because they are slandering against them and maybe you cry and mourn and say this is not fair and you begin to cry. It's not that type of mourning. It is not that type of mourning. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who say, I don't have God, nor do I have hope. I am alone in life. I have a lot of family and friends. I have a lot of people around me, but I am lonely. Everyone has abandoned me. I don't have anyone's support. I don't have peace in my heart. I don't have happiness. I don't have joy. There are difficult moments. There are moments of tribulation, and I don't have anyone to comfort me. I don't have anyone to turn to ask for help, to tell them, please listen to me. Give me peace. Give me joy. Give me happiness. Human beings cannot do these things with other human beings. Therefore, that is called mourning, but mourning in your soul, not your body or shedding tears, but to mourn in your soul, in the depth of your being. I cry because I'm alone. One time someone said, I did not know God, but I have heard that God exists. And I had problems. I had tribulations, moments of difficulty. And I called upon God and said, God, I know that you exist. Where are you? They told me that you exist, but I don't see you. I want for you to listen to me. I want for you to help me. Look at how I live. Look at what I feel. Look at what I'm suffering. And that person received a response from the Almighty. This person then replied in a dream, and the day that they had an opportunity to come to church for the first time, that is the first thing that God mentioned. You cried and you felt alone in life, unprotected, and you cried out to me and I listened to you and I am here now to bless you. So those are the ones who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Do you have Bibles? Do you have your Bible? We know that the applause is for our God because he deserves it. Read verse 4 out loud. So you know what that is now, right? You understood what that verse means because perhaps someone might have said, do many things to me, to cry, because it says here that blessed are those who mourn. No, it's different. It's the mourning of the soul, the mourning of the spirit, the mourning of the depth of your being. And it says in verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Here in the Bible, in many different parts of the Bible and Revelation, it says that God one day is going to bring us to abide in a new heaven and a new earth. And from this moment on, at times we consider that we are beginning that new way of that new heaven and new earth, because we are with the Lord. We have seen the miracles, the healing, and everything He has done in our lives. And for us, that is a heaven already. We are starting that way of that new heaven and new earth, but the peak of abiding in that new heaven and new earth is there in eternity with God. That is why it says here that the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, consider that the meek are whom? All of you. All of you are beginning to show the Lord that you are meek. Why? Because you are accepting this way. You are accepting this doctrine. You are accepting this Bible. You are living or experiencing the Holy Spirit and His spiritual gifts with your life, with you. Some of you may have not received the Holy Spirit or the spiritual gifts, but you know that it exists and you are seeking these wonderful spiritual gifts. Therefore, consider yourself meek, a person who is meek, a person who is noble, a person who accepts, who has patient humility and accepts and sets their heart and says, Lord, I believe. I believe you, Lord. You are promising me many things in life. You tell me to come to church, to congregate. You tell me to pray and to trust in you. Yes, Lord, I will do so. I will do it. I'm going to make an effort in order to please you. This is done by whom? A person who is what? Meek, noble, humble, and accepts and says, Lord, I will make the effort to please you because I want to please you. And I also want to do good to my neighbors. That is a person who is meek. And the Lord says, what is the reward? They will abide in that new earth and new heaven in eternity with God. Blessed is the Lord. And here in verse number 6, it says, blessed are those, if you would like to read, blessed are those. To hunger and thirst is the same as when it says to mourn. Hunger and thirst for righteousness of God, the desire to do what is good before the Lord, desire to turn away from sin, desire to not do what is evil, to harm anyone, desire in my heart to not feel grudges, hate, envy, covetousness. I do not want to avenge anyone. I want to do God's will. I have a desire to live a righteous life, to please the Lord for what? So that He may be with me. What is the blessing? It says that they will be filled. He who desires, he who wants to change, to live a righteous life, to do what is good, what is right, the Lord is going to give them in abundance. He will transform them and change them. He will turn them away from evil, from committing sin, from malice, from evil thoughts, from bad actions. God removes all of these things. And so this person begins to have calm and peace within themselves. They begin to have and to feel the experience of living with God, or feeling God in their life at their side. All of this is what God gives us when we put our part and we want to please the Lord and we want to be righteous and upright in life. And so the Lord says he is going to give us more and more, and he will call us holy. He will call us perfect. Thanks be to our God. And here it says, blessed are the merciful in verse 7, for they shall obtain mercy. This verse is easy to understand. If we are merciful, we have compassion. We have patience for people. We feel that love. We put ourselves in someone else's shoes. We feel the other's pain. I have to feel it too. If the other person is happy, then I should be happy because the other person's being happy. Mercy entails many things. Having that patience, acknowledging and understanding people, looking at people, that if they do displeasing things, it's for a reason, or they are suffering, or they are being bound, or surely the devil has them bound and captive. What must I do? I will pray for them. I will ask the Lord to deliver these people so that God may give them the opportunity to go to church, that they may know God, that they may receive healing. Well, all of this entails mercy. When we see people suffering, we don't have money to help them. We don't have the solution to give them peace or to give them happiness. But at least we speak to them about God and we invite them to go to church so that they may know and hear God. And in this way, my mercy is there working with my neighbor or with those people who are near me. So mercy. And in verse 8, you may read. They shall see God, those pure in heart. Well, those who are pure in heart, they are a person who in their heart, there is no type of evil. There are different types of evil that are physical, like those who go and kill many people, those who kidnap or rape, but there is another type of evil that is here in the heart, which we have mentioned before: envy, grudges, anger, covetousness, fraud, lies, deceit. All of these sins are there in someone's heart that decided to keep all of this in their heart, and this comes out with the way they treat others. That is why there are people who argue and they say, this person is so angry. This person is envious. You can't speak to this person. They get offended because their heart is filled with so much garbage. There's so much garbage in their heart. But the Lord says, blessed is he who is pure in heart, free from any filth, free from any uncleanness, free from sin, from everything. And so people are going to live a holy life. They're going to live a righteous life, and people are going to admire them. And they'll say, you, who are you? Where do you go? What happened to you? You have changed. You are a different person. Now, to be with you, you feel joy and happiness. What is happening? And the other person might say, yes, my heart wasn't clean, but now I'm going to church. I am seeking God. I am reading the Bible. And God speaks to me, and he is teaching me to live that holy life and to keep my heart clean. And those who have a pure heart, what is the reward? To see the hand of God, the powerful hand of God in our lives starting now. That is starting now. It's not about after death. It's from now on that we see God. How? With the miracles, the spiritual blessings, material blessings, peace, joy. He opens doors of blessings, opens doors for work or to study. People are peaceful and they're happy. And there we are seeing whom? We are seeing God. We are seeing God's hand. We are seeing the work of our God manifested in us, in my people, in those who come to church, in people that we know. everything that God does for these people, that is to see God. That is to see God's power, God's manifestation, to see that the Holy Spirit is among us. It rules over us, it guides us, and it teaches us, glory be to our God. And it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Those peacemakers are very similar to those who are meek. Those who are meek, he who is meek, they are also a peacemaker. They are patient. They have a lot of patience. They tolerate. They tolerate everything that is done to them, all of the offensive things. They hurt him. They offend him. They slander against them. They lie to them. They deceive them, but they have patience. They withstand. They bear. They are a peacemaker. They are patient, and they teach others to be patient. Do not worry. Be patient. Pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord. He will help you. But you do not go on your own account to pay back what people have done to you. If someone is treating you badly, do not repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Be patient. That is a peacemaker who seeks peace, who seeks calmness and tranquility, and teaches you to pray, to trust in God, so that God may solve your problems, and not us ourselves solving our problems with our own means. And we do not know how to do it. We make mistakes. We offend more people. We twist things more. And we make our problems and difficulties worse. Very well. Peacemakers are blessed. And their prize is what? That God tells them, I will call you my children. My children. My children, the peacemakers. My children. Those pure in heart, my children, the ones who mourn in their heart because the enemy does so much evil to them. They are my children because they are here with me, because they have set their heart to serve me, to honor me, to follow me. Glory be to the King. Don't you think that's beautiful what God does in our lives? Yes, of course. And here, verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake being the Lord Jesus Christ. They can say all kinds of evil. They slander, they accuse you. Even families disinherit and cast them aside, throws them out of their house and say, if you go to that church, if you continue to go there and you do not follow my tradition, you are not going to continue with our tradition, but you're going to that church, then I am going to disinherit you. Do not come around anymore. Do not come. I will not invite you to come out and eat on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm not going to invite you to our birthdays. And you are sad and you cry because they're not going to invite you to a birthday party or to eat special food. You're not going to cry about this because you say, I know God's way. I have known the way of God. And among those traditions, among a culture, because whatever the world says, the world does not offer me salvation. The world does not offer me eternal life. Therefore, I am right because God is teaching me that he is power and that he is going to give me an abundance of food, what my family is not going to give me. Because my family or my friends have casted me aside, God is going to supply everything and he's going to give me 10 times more than whatever I can receive from those who say are my family. So to that, the Lord says, those are the ones who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to no longer commit sin, to live a new life, to follow that way that leads to eternal life. And those who are persecuted for following God's way, then in verse 12, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Do not worry. about cultures and traditions and family and friends, family members, neighbors. Do not worry about this. The Lord says, do not worry. Your reward is great because so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Today they're going to persecute you, but in eternity you're going to have mansions, and more than mansions, he's going to have all of us. The honor and the glory is to our God. And in our daily lives as human beings, God is going to open doors of blessings, and he's not going to lack with anything. We are not going to lack anything because he is always going to extend his helping hand and giving us what we need. And he will bless us not only in the material, but also in the spiritual things that is worth more among us. That is what God gives, the spiritual things and the material things he's going to provide constantly, every day. No one should worry. No one should ever feel alone or abandoned. No one should feel belittled from their loved ones because God is with you. God is with you. We give the glory and the honor to our God. Blessed is the name of the Lord. The Lord deserves that we sing him a chorus. What chorus should we sing to the Lord? What chorus should we sing to the Lord? Which one? Let me have a whole new heart? No, but you already have a new heart. You already have it. You have the new heart. The heart of God. Let us sing the chorus that is about anointing, that the Holy Spirit comes to us. Give me oil in my lamp, O Lord. Give me oil in my lamp, O my dear Lord, which is telling the Lord, send the Holy Spirit to our lives, to my life. Send it. Give me oil in my lamp. Our lamp is our heart, our being, and the oil is the Holy Spirit. Let us sing that chorus to the Lord. Let us sing with music or without. Let us begin chorus 167, 167. That there's only time for four questions. Very well. Let's see a question from this section, another question from this section, and so on. Very well, microphones.
Sister, good afternoon. Welcome to Mexico. You and all of the brothers and sisters that accompany you. It is a joy for me to be here before your presence, as it is a promise of the Lord that I would be asking you this question. I love you in the Lord. Each day I pray to God that He may give you, grant you longing of years with a good quality of life so that you may continue to teach us.
Thank you.
Sister, my question is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 4.
Yes, sister, you may
read. And 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Sister, in this chapter of Corinthians, it speaks of fornication and adultery. And Apostle Paul says in verse 4 that with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, he judged this man. And in verse 5, it says that this man or woman that commits the sin is delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Sister, this is how I understand it. Could you correct me if I'm wrong?
Very well. Sister, there, when the apostle is saying it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you in the church, in the congregation, among the believers, that there is fornication, there is adultery. And he said, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. So the apostle is very angry and says, I am not there present, but you there amongst yourself solve the problem and take this person out of the church. Expel them from the congregation because they do not deserve to be in the congregation, saying that they are this brother, very holy, very dedicated, and they are committing this type of adultery in the congregation by taking his father's wife. In other words, sleeping with his stepmother. That is why the apostle is angry. The apostle is not talking about the people of the world, but with the believers themselves. That is why he says, you can hear, I'll read it here in verse 10. He says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Impossible. You have to live in the world. You have to work with people from the world, study with people from the world, to live near people of the world. Everywhere you go, you will find people of the world, and you have to be with them, sharing with them, or be with them. And so he says, no, that wasn't what I wanted to say. Do not keep company with whom? In verse 11, that is the answer. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother of the church or sister of the church and is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a violer or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. What do you think about this? The order of the Holy Spirit is very harsh and very tough through the mouth of the Apostle Paul, but that is how God wants us to be. Men and women with a pure heart. This way is how God teaches us. And so that is why he says, not even to eat with such a person. Do you understand this, brothers and sisters? I'm not sure if you understand what the apostle is saying. He's not necessarily forbidding us to be with people of the world because that is impossible. But here in the congregation, you say, I am a believer. I am a child of God. I love God. I am here. I am brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Then you begin to commit sin, not just fornication, but the sin of adultery or the sin of stealing or being a drunkard. For example, nowadays, there is so much evil that the devil has invented through the internet. There are so many people that practice so many things like witchcraft, for example. And so the person comes to church. They were a sorcerer. That was their job. And they come to church and they say they have repented. They no longer do it. But in one of these days, someone realizes that they are still practicing. And they come and pretend saying, I am brother or sister so-and-so. So the Apostle Paul says, no, those people, we need to tell them, don't come to church anymore. Live your life out there, live in your world. And the day that you want to repent, you come back. But in the meanwhile, do not stay in the congregation because you are going to contaminate it. You're going to contaminate it with your bad example. You will contaminate it with your bad testimony. That is what this means. For example, you who have friends and family who are not from the church, but among your friends and your families, there are people who are committing sin and you know it. That doesn't mean that you're going to stop greeting them. No, you're going to greet them. And if they invite you to go and eat out, then you accept. And one of these days, they might ask you, where do you go? Because I see that you dress up so nicely and you go out and you say, well, I go to church. I invite you. That's what we ought to do. May the Lord bless you, sister. I like it because you read the Bible.
Thank you, sister. The Church of Coquitlam, Itzcali, awaits you.
Thank you. Very well. Another question? What a very interesting question.
Yes. Beloved sister, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to have you here with us and to greet you. We are full of joy and our hearts are overflowing because we have you here. And in this beautiful Bible study, to be here before you. Sister, the church in Santa Fe awaits you with open arms for whenever you want to visit us. Sister, I have a question based on the Bible.
Yes, brother, yes.
In the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, God speaks to Moses regarding the clean and unclean animals.
Yes, brother.
Those that they could and could not eat. God taught them this when they left Egypt, so they could practice it within the law of Moses. Nonetheless, in Genesis chapter 7, verse number 2, God instructs Noah regarding the clean and unclean animals. May I read this short passage,
yes,
sister?
Yes, brother, yes.
It reads as follows. You shall take with you 7 of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. My question is as follows, sister. Did God teach the law before the time of Moses? And was it just that the Israelites had forgotten to put it in practice?
Very well. When God spoke to Noah, I don't know if you remember, the brothers and sisters here remember the story of Noah, the flood. God told Noah to build an ark because the flood is coming. And then he says to go and gather the animals inside the ark, of the clean animals, 7 pairs, of the unclean, 1. God taught them his way and his word since Adam. Since Adam, God, to human beings that he created, he gave them the knowledge and the feeling to know the way of God and his commandments, just that they never wrote those commandments. God spoke to them, taught them, and by heart, they knew them. So as generations were born, the children were born, then they teach them that you ought to do things this way because God wants it to be this way. And parents would teach their children to their children continuously until Noah with the flood. So when Noah with the flood, the land was very populated. There were many inhabitants of the world, but all were committing sin because the devil also was teaching people, men and women, evil, to go against God. And so sin began to rule. That is why God destroyed them with the flood. But God was always teaching his commandments, making himself known to all of those people who were called patriarchs at the time. That is what happened. That is why When God told Noah of the unclean, only one pair, he already knew what the unclean were because God had revealed it to him already. That's what that is. Very well.
Thank you very much, sister.
Let us continue. Yes.
Good afternoon, sister. May God bless you. The fact that you are able to answer our questions in light of the Bible is a great blessing that God allows us to have, and is the evidence that you are placed by God. May God allow us to value you, sister. If you allow me, my question is in the second book of Samuel, in chapter number 5, verse 6 through 8.
Yes, read. Read, please.
These verses, sister, speak regarding the Jebusites, telling King David to not enter the land because even the blind and lame would repel him. When King David enters to conquer that land, he says...
You are reading in 2 Samuel?
2 Samuel, chapter 5,
yes.
Verse 7.
Yes, yes.
It reads, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. Now David said on that day, whoever climbs up by way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house." We know, sister, that this house became Jerusalem, which spiritually represents the church. My question is, sister, do these verses also have a spiritual meaning, or was it just for that time? And if they do have a spiritual meaning, what does it mean to be blind and lame spiritually that prevents entry into the spiritual Jerusalem?
Very well. Brother, here we are not looking for any symbols. This was a real story, something that happened. The brother says that David does represent as king, as a king only. He symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ as a king. But what happened to David was something real, was something physical, that when he began his reign, since they belittled him, and he also had an enemy there close to him, which was Saul, these people belittled King David so much that they told him, if you're going to enter that territory, because in that territory there were very mighty men, even giants lived there, and they instilled fear in David, and they said, even the blind and the lame, yes, I think that's what it says, the blind and the lame will not go in. Someone who is blind has that disability and they cannot see, so how are they going to go and persecute someone else and harm them? If they're blind, they can't. And the lame neither, because they are someone who cannot walk. And it was such an insult to King David. They were implying that he wasn't that great, that even a blind or a lame person could go against the king, and they were going to bring him out of that territory. That was an insult. It's like today when people satire to offend someone else. For example, if someone said, no, you are so cowardly that even a person without hands can punch you and knock you down. So someone without hands and punching you, and how are they going to knock you out if they have no hands? So it's demeaning and underestimating the other person, belittling them. And so it becomes an insult for King David, for someone to have said that the blind and the lame would be going against him and take him out. So that is why David truly avenged himself. He avenged himself. And when he possessed that territory, he told his men, all person who is blind and lame, take their life. Since they told me that the blind and lame would not allow me to enter the territory, then I'm going to show them that they're all going to die. That is what happened. Sadly, unfortunately, King David avenged himself. But there is no symbolism for our spiritual life. Or what could we take from there for our spiritual life? Let's say that vengeance is not good for us today, because the Lord has forbid for us not to avenge anyone. God is the one who avenges us. If someone harms us, then we are peacemakers, we are meek, we are merciful, we are righteous, we have patience, And then God is going to avenge us. He stands up for us. Let us continue. Another question.
Good afternoon, sister. Receive warm greetings from the church in Celaya. I love you and the Lord. My question is in 1 Corinthians 14:26.
May I read, sister? Yes, sister. 1 Corinthians 14:26.
How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. My question, sister, is psalms teach us to pray and comforts us. When it says each of you has a psalm, does it mean it is a spiritual gift that we must seek? And how could we confirm these gifts, sister?
Very well. Well, sister, psalm. When he says each of you has a psalm means a song to sing. Sing psalms to God. In other words, sing songs to the Lord. The word psalm is an archaic word from antiquity, but translated to modern languages, it means to sing to God, to sing psalms. And we don't use psalm, we say to sing songs. Psalms for our God. Songs for our God. Here we say psalm because in the language that the Bible was written in has respected that word because it was given by God. Words like psalm or Jehovah, they are words that God directly gave, and translators try to respect those words and to continue them through generations to carry those words along. But psalm means song. That is why he says, when you gather, are you going to tell each other jokes with double meanings? No. So he says, how about you pray, you talk about God? Perhaps you have a psalm implying, do you have a song for God? Those who are composers, for example, there are many composers. Why don't you compose songs to God, choruses for our Lord, songs to worship God? That is what the Apostle Paul is saying, that it's better to have great conversations. That is what he was trying to invite us to do, to have good conversations and to talk about God and to sing to the Lord, because God likes for us to sing to him. So psalms are songs for God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Who were inspired? 70 singers that there were in antiquity, King David, Moses, and some prophets. They were inspired and they sung these psalms. And so that is why we today can, for those who are experts in composing, can sing to the Lord and compose songs and see how God will come to your lives and bless you very much, spiritually and materially. Questions?
Sister Maria Luisa, good afternoon. May God bless you greatly. We are very happy to have you visiting us, and we know that this visit will allow for this country to experience a very important spiritual blossoming. Sister, my question has to do with the first fruits. We have learned from our God that the gospel was hidden in the Old Testament, and thanks to the Holy Spirit, we receive through you all those revelations that we greatly enjoy. When I read in Exodus 34, verse 22, it reads as follows, "And you shall observe the Feast of Weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end." There's another verse in Deuteronomy, but I want to emphasize this first one. And basically, it states that the first fruits were presented in this feast. My question is the following. Is the Feast of Weeks that is mentioned in these verses the symbolism of the moment in which the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given on the day of Pentecost?
Very well. Those feasts from antiquity, the Feast of Weeks, which are the first fruits of wheat harvest when people in the fields plant their seeds, they plant all that is edible, and after 6 months, they begin to bear fruit. that seed that was sowed. And the first fruits, God said, were to take to the temple because everything was physical, everything was material. God had the priests, those who served, and they had to be fed because they did not work. So the Lord ordered and said, bring your offering and bring the first fruits. But that did have a symbolic meaning for the future. The first fruits are the believers in Jesus Christ. It means the first fruits, those fruits that are here. We are all here maturing. We are growing for God. We are maturing in the sense, maturing in knowledge for our God. And the Lord then at that time, he taught people to be careful with the harvesting of the first fruits. If it was a mango tree, for example, the first mangoes that were bared, because it seems as though mango trees bear fruit every year, but every year it gives its first fruits, and the first fruits were the best and they had to be taken to the temple. We today, in our spiritual sense, God wants for us to bear fruits, right? He always tells us to bear fruit. And so we also have to bear good fruits to our Lord. Fruits are given by us, our personal life, our testimony. My life, my testimony, they are fruits that I'm bearing for God, and people are going to perceive that I am giving something good, that I am a person who does good things, better things, and from that person, they're not going to be receiving anything harmful, but they're going to be receiving good. And so what is that fruit that we are bearing for God? Are we bearing good fruit or bad fruit? Are we living a righteous life or an incorrect life? So in antiquity, everything that God did materially or physically was to symbolize our spiritual life now. And what we see also in antiquity that the Lord said he had his priests and the people who would serve him. Nowadays, it's the same. In the gospel as well, the Lord says that in the church, he placed many people to serve him, which are the apostles, the prophets, those who have the spiritual gifts, the evangelists, the pastors. And so they are going to dedicate themselves to serve and to evangelize and to do the work of the Lord. They also are watching over them, worried about what they're going to live off of, because he knows that they are material beings. And so there is a need for the physical, financial part in order to survive. So in antiquity, the Lord did it, and now he does it in a different way. Now God isn't asking for the first fruits of the harvest, but he is asking from us, human beings, to bear good fruits. And he tells us that we are trees that ought to bear good fruits. Otherwise, he cuts it down and throws it into the fire to burn. So as we see, when we read in the Old Testament, we read and we compare it to the life that we live now. There we will find a reflection, a shadow. We are that reflection that he left us in the Old Testament, in the form of the commandments and the way that God taught people in antiquity. We see that it was foreshadowing what we are now and what we should be for our God. In antiquity, God gave in abundance a lot of food and material wealth. He also gives it to us now, but in the spiritual sense, he also gives us in the material as well, and he's not going to lack. But the most important thing is the spiritual things. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. I am so happy to have been here with you. I'm sad that we do have to say goodbye, that you have to go back home. I also have to go to mine. We will continue to see each other on Sundays. On Sundays, we will see each other while I'm not traveling and I am in my spot. Then I will be giving the sermon on Sundays and I will see you through the camera. And you will also see me on the screen. I love you with all of my heart. I hope that God, may bless you and work wonders and miracles, because that is what the Lord made me feel in the beginning, to bless you and to give you the spiritual gifts that you may attain that perfection before leaving. May my Lord bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you all, my beloved brothers and sisters. And we are going to be praying now to our Lord. Let us pray. You have come with your needs, with your petitions. There are various illnesses. There are wishes in your heart. We are going to present before the Lord all of these things. And let us trust in our God. He is here with us, and he is going to give us the wishes of our heart. Let us pray. Blessed God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal and righteous God who created the heavens and the earth, our powerful God, you were with Moses. You spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. You gave them commandments. Many requirements of how his people should act, because you wanted a holy people, you wanted a faithful people to love you, to honor you, to seek you with a sincere heart, a people that was holy and perfect, because you, in your plan, have had a plan to form a people that would only dedicate themselves to you, a singular, unique people. And we are here for over 50 years, O Lord. When you humbled yourself to look upon us, you decided to speak to us and to make us marvelous promises. Thank you, Lord. Because those promises, we are seeing them fulfilled even to this day, and they will continue to be fulfilled always, because you are with us, because you have been with us for over more than 50 years, and you have supported us, and you have fulfilled the promise of making a great people, forming a congregation that is very large with many people in an international level. And you have fulfilled that promise as well of giving everything that is necessary, like money, for all of the expenses that there are in order to evangelize, to be able to travel around the world, and also the expenses of all of those church locations in different towns and different countries, everything that is needed materially for the congregation to gather in one place so that they may worship your name. And you promised it and you have fulfilled it. And here in Mexico as well, you have seen them with eyes of mercy. You have looked upon this country and you have come to bring the seed, the word, so that everyone may know your truth, so that everyone may know your way, so that they may open their eyes and not be ignorant in doctrine or your knowledge, my Lord, but that all may learn and understand and comprehend that there's only one way that leads to eternal life, and you are that way, a powerful God, a God in spirit and in truth, that we cannot touch with our hands, but we can feel with all of our being and our heart and our soul. And our spirit rejoices every time that you manifest yourself among us. We also have the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, leads us, guides us, and teaches us. I also give thanks for this. Thank you for these brothers and sisters who are here, the brothers and sisters from different cities and towns in Mexico. They have sacrificed themselves to come here and listen to your word, to receive your blessings, to receive healing from the body and of the heart and soul, to receive the power of your Holy Spirit, to receive miracles and works from your powerful hand. They have come here, O Lord, trusting in your word, in your promises, and trusting in your power and your mercy to bless them. They have come, O Lord, to receive your powerful hand and your benefits. Holy Father, that is why I ask you, my Lord, in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, extend your powerful hand, your healing hand, and that it may be you healing all people who are sick, all of those who have various illnesses. Extend your hand. Heal, Lord. Heal all. Deliver them. Also, those who are victims to witchcraft and curses, remove these unclean spirits. Rebuke these unclean spirits and give healing and deliverance. Break those diabolical chains. Remove them from that prison in which the devil has them in. Deliver them, O Lord. Deliver their mindsets and help them so that their spiritual blindness is removed and the bondage in their mind, and that they may not have any thoughts of idolatry or pagan customs, but that it may be you delivering them completely, O Lord. Holy Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, I ask that your powerful hand may be cleansing and delivering, working miracles, delivering and healing each person. Fulfill the wishes of their heart. Fulfill their petitions that they have before you. The petitions that they may forget the past. That they may forget the past. That they may live in the present. So that your love may be reflected in their lives and in their hearts. And each person may receive the blessings from heaven. Holy Father, that each person may receive blessings, deliverance, and triumph and victories. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. The glory and the honor is yours. The worship is for you, my Lord. Forgive many. They persevere. The people that perseveres before your presence, that they may be calm because your blessing has come. Your Holy Spirit is in each of them. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. The glory and the honor is for you forever and ever. Glory to your name. Glory to the Father. Glory to the Son and glory to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to the King forever. Chorus 90. Chorus 90.
Por favor, mi mano, Señor, contigo quiero ir. Con sangre aquí pagaste por mí. Te quiero hoy servir. Mano, Señor, contigo quiero ir. Con sangre aquí pagaste por mí. Te quiero hoy servir. Toma, por favor.
Blessed and praised is the Lord. Thanks to our Father, thanks to our God. And thank you, brothers and sisters. I don't know why the Lord says that we have to forget the past and to live the present. Perhaps you get tangled up in the past and it torments you, I say. It makes you suffer and filled with worry. Do not live in the past. Live this present with God. The Lord has given so many blessings, and all have received a blessing. No one has been left out without God's blessing. Everyone, from the smallest to the biggest, have received blessings from heaven today. Do not doubt. Do not worry. Pray. And before leaving, pray to the Lord. Speak to the Lord and ask Him to be with you, to protect you and to keep you always. May my God bless you and thank you. Thank you. I love you with all of my heart. Thank you. Thank you. See you soon. See you soon, brothers and sisters. May God bless you.